Holy Spirit, come on. Do I love and worship you? Whatever you say, I will do. You have my heart, show me the truth. Elohim, breathe on me. Let your glory fill this room. Till everything smells just like you. Every day discovering something brand new. Elohim, breathe on me.
We South Africans love quizzes and we love puzzles. We can tell this by going into any bookshop and seeing rows upon rows of quizzes and puzzles. Okay, so I'm going to start with a little quiz or a little puzzle for you and see if you know who I am talking about. All right, I'm going to give you some clues. I'm not going to tell you what the program is about just yet and see if you can guess. I'm talking about a saint and not yet a South African saint. He's not South African. He's from Europe. That's the only clue I'm going to give you. All right. First is he died standing up. Okay. He's not the only one who did that. Mother Teresa wanted to die standing up and she got her wish. Second thing is this person founded a religious order or a monastery when he was only 20 years of age. And he died when he was 67, standing in his boots. He himself rejected education, but as he grew stronger in the Lord, he began to attract scholars and founded a huge monastery. This saint was not merely a genius in the spiritual life, but he or she, I'm not telling you the gender yet, maybe I should call them they founded something extraordinary. They founded new technologies of their day, irrigation systems, crops, and it is to this saint that we can trace back the credit and debit system in commerce. This saint was also a twin, Iwele, and the person's twin was also a saint. Are you getting warm? Do you know who I'm talking about? This saint's image is on the most recognizable crucifix around the world. In other words, of all the crucifixes that are made, wooden, plastic, metal, that saint's image is on the crucifix. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about this particular saint. Are you getting clued up? This particular saint was almost assassinated twice, but the Lord preserved that our saint. The next clue I want to give you is, or has to do with, what in Sotho we call Sijiso. And you all know what our beloved Sijiso is about. Well, our saint, under discussion today, he was almost poisoned by Sijiso, but the Lord saved him. Who am I talking about? And the next clue has to do with a bird, a very black bird. It's not a blackbird by name. It's called a raven. That's the name of the bird, a raven, a very, very black feathered bird. Now, when our saint was almost assassinated for the second time, he called in the raven. Who am I talking about? Well, I've given you enough clues. If you don't know who I'm talking about, then you are literally clueless. And this is a very, very wonderful saint. And today's program is why you should develop a personal relationship with this saint.
Come on, do a love and worship you.
A very good afternoon, everybody. This is Spirit Wednesday with your host, Father Joseph Wilson, MSc. And just to keep you on your toes, we are going to keep the suspense up. The saint who is the focus of today's program is a male, and he is the patron saint of the following things. And after this, I'm sure you'll be able to identify our saint of today.
He is the patron saint against poison, against witchcraft, cavers, civil engineers, coppersmiths, dying people, erysipelas, Europe, farmers, fever, gallstones, inflammatory diseases, Italian architects, kidney disease, monks, nettle rash, school children, servants who have broken their master's belongings, speleologists, spelunkers, and temptations.
Wow, wow, that is some list. He's the patron saint of Europe, of fever, gallstones, school children, nettle rash, servants who have broken their master's belongings, speleologists, those are people who explore caves, believe it or not, spelunkers, those are people who explore caves, especially as a hobby. And that reminds me of the Bat Lady from Wuhan. You remember Wuhan? And you remember the Bat Lady that gave us plenty of disease? I doubt if she had a devotion to today's saint under question. But that is some list. And finally, he is the patron saint of Italian architects and of temptations. We are, of course, speaking about Saint Benedict of Nursia. And let us begin with a very shortened version of his theme song.
Numquam suare mihi vana, sunt mara quelibas, ipse venena bibas.
Rum sacra sit mihi lux, non draco sit mihi lux, vare retro satana, numquam suare mihi vana, sunt mala quelibas, ipse venena bibas.
Okay, so this is going to test your Latin a little bit this afternoon, but nothing to worry about. We are not experts in Latin. You know a lot of Latin already. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. You already know the Our Father and the Pater Noster qui es in Caelis. You know a good deal of Latin already. Now, throughout the program, there will be a little bit of Latin, but nothing to scare you. But first of all, let's go over and have a listen to a very quick biography of Saint Benedict.
Saint Benedict of Nursia is the founder of Western monasticism. He was born in 480 in Nursia, Umbria, Italy, and died on the 21st of March 547 at Monte Cassino, Italy. Saint Benedict was canonized in 1220. He is the patron saint against poison, against witchcraft, cavers, civil engineers, coppersmiths, dying people, erysipelas, Europe, farmers, fever, gallstones, inflammatory diseases, Italian architects, kidney disease, monks, nettle rash, school children, servants who have broken their master's belongings, speleologists, spelunkers, and temptations. The life of Benedict of Nursia is contained in the second book of St. Gregory's Dialogues. Benedict was the son of a Roman noble of Nursia, a small town. He was a twin to his sister Scholastica. His boyhood was spent in Rome, where he lived with his parents and attended the schools until he had reached his higher studies. Then, giving over his books, and forsaking his father's house and wealth, with a mind only to serve God, he departed Rome during his late teen years. He settled down to live in Infide, near a church dedicated to Saint Peter, in some kind of association with a company of virtuous men who were in sympathy with his feelings and his views of life. Infide is in the Cimbrusini Mountains, about 40 miles from Rome. At Infide, Benedict worked his first miracle by restoring to perfect condition an earthenware wheat sifter which his old servant had accidentally broken.
In case you didn't understand what was said there, Benedict had a nurse, and the nurse borrowed a sieve to make clean wheat. She borrowed it from a neighbour. The sieve was probably made of terracotta, so it can be easily broken. She left it on the table, probably negligently, and probably hit it and it fell to the ground and broke in two pieces. Now, when she saw this, the nurse was inconsolable and crying because it was a borrowed object. When Benedict saw this, he was moved with compassion. Benedict took away the two pieces and began to pray over them. And behold, the sieve was made whole again. You could not see the crack.
The notoriety which this miracle brought upon Benedict drove him to escape still farther from social life, and he fled secretly to the district of Subiaco. He now was determined to be poor and to live by his own work. For God's sake, he deliberately chose the hardships of life and the weariness of labor. On his way from Infide, Benedict met a monk, Romanus, and discussed with him why he was in Subiaco, and Romanus gave him the monk's habit. By his advice, Benedict became a hermit and for 3 years, unknown to men. The monk visited Benedict frequently, and on fixed days brought him food. Upon the death of the abbot of a monastery in the neighborhood, the community came to him and begged him to become its abbot. Benedict was acquainted with the life and discipline of the monastery, and gave his consent. The experiment failed, the monks tried to poison him, and he returned to his cave. When monks tried to poison him with wine, he made the sign of the cross over the glass and it broke.
Now, that right there should make us South Africans very enthusiastic about St. Benedict. I mean, if somebody is putting sejiso into your food and into your glass of wine, you want to know about it and you want to avoid it. With St. Benedict at your side and carrying his medals and his prayers, he should be able to help you to avoid the pitfalls of our beloved sejiso in South Africa. And by the way, for those of you who are just English speaking, sejiso is a Sotho word, and it has the connotation of food that has been doctored or poisoned through witchcraft, through some kind of muti to cause a desired effect. Now, wouldn't St. Benedict come in very handy if you had to be the king's wine taster and food taster? You need a St. Benedict at your side. So that first miracle brought St. Benedict a lot of notoriety, which made him withdraw further from social life. And so he took shelter in a cave in the ruins of Nero's village near Subiaco. Now, Subiaco is going to play a big part in the life of St. Benedict. And at Subiaco, where he began to live as a hermit, he immersed himself in loneliness. His only contact with the outside world was with a monk called Romanus, whose monastery was nearby. He gave St. Benedict a monk's habit and provided for his spiritual and material needs. 3 solitary years followed. Some shepherds befriended Benedict and they began to follow his teachings and the pastoral and apostolic principles of the Benedictine order. Now, after resisting a strong temptation against chastity, Benedict prepared to live through a new experience, following the example of the ancient fathers of Christian monasticism. At first, the community of Vicovaro wanted him as its abbot. That means the leader or the head. But the failed attempt of a monk to poison him forced Benedict to return to solitude. Afterwards, he founded 12 monasteries and assigned 12 monks to each of them. In addition, he founded a 13th monastery for novices and those needing education. Benedict's fame spread so rapidly, even in Rome, that two illustrious men, Equisius and the noble Tertullus, entrusted him with their two sons, Maurus and Placidus. They were to become the first two gems of the Benedictine family.
Numquam suare mihi vada, sunt mara quelibas, ipse venenam hibas.
Cum sacra sit mihi lux, non draco sit mihi lux, valere pro Satana. Numquam suare mihi vada, sunt mara quelibas, ipse venenam.
If you've just joined me this afternoon, a very warm welcome. We are discussing Saint Benedict, whose feast day is tomorrow, and why it would be a very good idea if you and I cultivated a special devotion to Saint Benedict. Before we continue with the story of Saint Benedict, I want to play a song for you. It's entitled, I Give You All of My Heart, by a guy I've never heard of before, Hexy and the Elements. Now, the background to this song, I've never heard it until today. The background is that when he became a father, everything changed. He just burst forth into joy and happiness, and he made a promise to his little child that he would always be there for her. And it reminded me of God the Father. When he sees us, his child, he's just absolutely overjoyed with us. We are the apple of his eye, and there is absolutely nothing he will not do for us. We are the joy of his heart. So when I heard this song, it just put me in mind of the Heavenly Father. Now, it's probably a purely secular song, and it is a father seeing a joy and a happiness he never thought was possible. And as you hear him singing it, he begins with a little introduction, but as you hear him singing it, think of the father's love for you.
The first time I saw my little girl's face, and I'm no different to any other parent, my life changed, and I felt love like no other. An indescribable and unconditional love I still have today. Feeding our newly born baby daughter her first drink of milk was the most special time of my life. I told her, while she guzzled that tiny 1 ounce bottle, that I would love her forever, no matter what. As a parent, you selflessly dedicate your life to your child and their future. When this love disappears, though, everything changes.
When I first saw you, I fell for you. You felt it too, you are my world. You looked at me, and I could see the light you gave, it stays in my heart. I spoke to my spirit and promised that day the strength of this love you created will stay. I'll never leave you, no distance can tear us apart. So from today, this promise I make, I give you all of my heart.
Isn't that really beautiful? Hexy and the Elements, I give you all of my heart. A father giving all of his heart the moment he saw his little daughter. Reminds me so much of our Heavenly Father. If that is how a human father loves his little child, how much more does the Heavenly Father love us?
You are tuned to Spirit Wednesday on Radio Veritas with your host, Father Joseph Wilson, MSc, the station that gives you the good news for a change.
So let's get back to the story of Saint Benedict. During his life, Benedict performed many miracles. He found water on a desolate mountaintop to quench the thirst of his monks. He retrieved a billhook's iron from the bottom of a lake and rejoined its handle. That reminds me of Elisha and his miracle with the hatchet in the water. He prevented a monk from leading a dissolute life through intervention. In addition, he made Marus walk on water to save the young Placidus from drowning. I didn't know that. Unfortunately, a priest called Florentius was very jealous of Benedict's popularity, and his envy forced the saint to depart in spite of insistence from his disciples. After leaving Subiaco, Benedict went towards Cassino. Now, it's when you're going to hear Monte Cassino, you're not thinking of the gambling salon in the, what is it, the West Rand? Benedict went towards Cassino. In the period between 525 and 529, Benedict founded the Abbey of Monte Cassino. This is a very famous mountain, and he established a huge monastery on top of that mountain. A little bit more about that, if we've got time. It would become the most famous abbey on the continent of Europe. Under Benedict's direction, the old Acropolis Sanctuary, towering above the declined Roman municipium of Casinum, was turned into a monastery that was much bigger than those built at Subiaco. On the remains of the altar of Apollo, a false god, he built a chapel dedicated to St. John the Baptist, while the temple of Apollo itself was turned into an oratory, or a prayer chapel, for the monks, which was dedicated to St. Martin of Tours. At Monte Cassino, St. Benedict displayed prodigious activity. He supervised the building of the monastery, established a monastic order, and performed many miracles. He brought back from the dead a youngster, miraculously supplied the monastery with flour and oil in his time of need, and displayed the gift of prophecy. In the autumn of 542, while the Goth king Totila was passing through Cassino en route to Naples to attack it, he decided to test Saint Benedict because he had already heard of his gifts and charisms. As a consequence, King Totila sent his squire dressed as a king to greet Benedict. But Benedict soon unmasked him. And when he finally met Totila, he warned him with a dire prediction. "You have hurt many people and you continue to do it. Now stop behaving badly. You will enter Rome. You will cross the vast sea. You will reign for 9 years. However, in the 10th year, you will die." And that is exactly what happened. Now, Benedict was able to see far into the future. He actually saw in a vision the destruction of his monastery, the apple of his eye, and he wept bitterly about it. And this was to happen during the Second World War, when the Germans took up residence and made Monte Cassino on top of a hill or a mountain. They made it their headquarters. Can you believe this? That the Americans dropped 1,150 tons of explosives on top of the monastery. It was called the Battle of Monte Cassino, in which 55,000 soldiers from Europe and America were killed, and about 20,000 soldiers on the German side lost their lives. What a waste of lives and a beautiful monument to God. The bombing reduced the Abbey of Monte Cassino to a smoking mass of rubble. And military historians believe that the destruction of Monte Cassino was one of the greatest blunders of the Second World War. Unfortunately, Saint Benedict, who put together again his first miracle of putting the earthenware jar back to perfect condition, well, he wasn't around to rebuild Monte Cassino. Yeah, this really makes a person sad, because you're bombing history, you're bombing heritage, you're bombing culture, you're bombing something that is so sacred. And maybe the Germans went up there thinking that the Americans will not bomb it. But in war, there's nothing sacred, and just savagery comes out. So that's a great, great loss. But we continue with the story of Saint Benedict.
Nunquam suare mihi vana sunt mara quelibas ipse venenam ibas.
Prum sacra sit mihi lux, non draco sit mihi lux, varere pro satana. Nunquam suare mihi vana sunt mara quelibas.
Now, why is Saint Benedict noted as the patron saint against witchcraft? Well, he set about devoting himself to evangelizing the local population who practiced pagan worship. Shortly before he died, Benedict saw the soul of his sister, Saint Scholastica, rising to heaven in the form of a dove. This vision happened a few days after their last talk together at the foot of Monte Cassino. In a vision, Benedict saw the soul of Bishop Germanus of Capua taken by the angels in a fire globe. These visions of Saint Benedict convinced Pope Saint Gregory the Great, who is the biographer of Benedict. He was convinced that Benedict had a very close union with God, a union so intense that the saint was given the share of an even more magnificent vision, the whole of creation as gathered in a sunbeam. I'd like to sing that one.
Jesus once came for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. In every way try to please him at home, at school, at play. A sunbeam. Sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam, I'll be
that's probably not what Saint Benedict saw in that amazing vision before he died of the universe in a sunbeam, but I suppose it's the nearest we can get to it.
You are listening to Radio Veritas with Father Joseph Wilson, MSC, the station that gives you the good news for a change.
The following reading is taken from the Office of Readings on the Feast of Saint Benedict. Whenever you begin any good work, you should first of all make a most pressing appeal to Christ, our Lord, to bring it to perfection, that He, who has honored us by counting us among His children, may never be grieved by our evil deeds. For we must always serve Him with the good things He has given us, in such a way that He may never, as an angry father disinherits his sons, or even like a master who inspires fear, grow impatient with our sins and consign us to everlasting punishment, like wicked servants who would not follow Him to glory. And the Lord, as He seeks the one who will do His work among the throng of people to whom He makes that appeal, says again, "Which of you wants to live to the full, who longs for life and enjoyment of prosperity? And if when you hear this, you say, 'I do,' God says to you, 'If you desire true and everlasting life, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And when you have done these things, My eyes will be upon you, and My ears will be attentive to your prayers. And before you call upon My name, I shall say to you, Behold, I am here.' What could be more delightful, dearest brothers, than the voice of the Lord's invitation to us? In His loving kindness, He reveals to us the way of life. And so, girded with faith and the performance of good works, let us follow in His paths by the guidance of the gospel. Then we shall deserve to see Him who has called us into His kingdom. If we wish to attain a dwelling place in His kingdom, we shall not reach it unless we hasten there by our good works. Just as there exists an evil fervor, a bitter spirit, which divides us from God and leads us to hell, so there is a good fervor which sets us apart from evil inclinations and leads us towards God and eternal life. Monks should put this fervor into practice with an overflowing love. That is, they should surpass each other in mutual esteem, accept their weaknesses, either of body or of behavior, with the utmost patience, and vie with each other in acceding to requests. No one should follow what he considers to be good for himself, but rather what seems good for another. They should display brotherly love in a chaste manner. Fear God in a spirit of love. Revere their abbot with a genuine and submissive affection. Let them put Christ before all else, and may He lead us all to everlasting life." How did Saint Benedict die? In the end, a life so noble was justifiably followed by a much glorified death. According to tradition, because we don't have the actual history, Saint Benedict died on the 21st of March, 547 AD. He foresaw his coming death, informing his close and faraway disciples that his end was near. 6 days before dying, he had the grave, which he was to share with his deceased sister, St. Scholastica, opened. Then, completely exhausted, he asked to be taken into the oratory where, after taking his last Holy Communion, he died standing, supported by his monks. Friends, what a way to go. St. Benedict stood for God and for his glory.
We stand for God and for his glory, the Lord Supreme and God of all. Against his foes, we raise his standard.
That's a shortened version of We Stand for God, sung by Greg Aguiar.
You are listening to Spirit Wednesday with Father Joseph Wilson, MSc, the good news for a change.
If you've just joined me, we are discussing St. Benedict this afternoon and why it would be a brilliant idea if you and I cultivated a special devotion to St. Benedict. Why should we do that? Why should we have this special devotion or cultivate a special devotion to St. Benedict? After all, we are not monks and we are not religious sisters of the Benedictine order. Well, the reason is that this man has had such an influence on Christianity. He still has. You only have to think of our own Blessed Benedict Daswa to recognize the influence of Saint Benedict. And the last pope before the present was Benedict the 16th. That means there were 16 men who found themselves very, very influenced by Saint Benedict. And I know that he's becoming more and more important and influential in other people's lives as well, especially here in South Africa. Maybe you have a crucifix of Saint Benedict. Maybe you have a Benedictine medal, big or small. And maybe you don't actually know how powerful these sacramentals are for you and when you wear them on you. It hasn't always been the case, but St. Benedict has become increasingly important for me, and he has a special connection with Our Lady, and through her, she made him known to me. I've been in the healing and deliverance ministry for the last 24 years, and I must make a confession, because it was only until relatively recently that I began to understand the real power of St. Benedict. Now, he was always there in the background, but to be quite honest with you, I had confined him to his monastery, to the monastic life, because he is considered the founder of Western monasticism. And Benedict has a significant presence in South Africa. And I have to make a confession now that it was my own ignorance that did so. I vaguely knew something about him, and I came across his prayer, the prayer on the medal, because on the day I was delivered way back in the year 2000, the person who delivered me gave me a Benedictine crucifix, which I've worn ever since, and it is a real treasure to me. That said, I still did not investigate St. Benedict, although this crucifix is very dear to me. That said, I come to the personal story which changed my perspective on St. Benedict. I recall we were doing a deliverance over somebody. I can't remember whether it was a man or a woman, and I can't remember the year, but it's relatively recently. And so we were praying over this demonized person, heavily demonized person, and we were invoking St. Michael the Archangel, obviously Our Lady, St. Joseph, St. Anthony of the Desert, and for some reason I invoked St. Benedict. And I can tell you, the reaction was immediate in the demonized person, meaning the demon in the person felt it immediately. The moment I invoked his name, there was an immediate reaction. And I recall one of the prayers in Latin. It says, Ipse venena bibas, which means, drink your own poison, Satan. Drink your own poison. Now, that's a very short prayer composed by St. Benedict, and it's based on the words of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. A lot of its power comes from Benedict's own personal experience. You recall that his own monks wanted to poison him with poisoned wine, and you remember he prayed over the chalice or over the glass, and it cracked in two. And then a jealous priest wanted to feed him very poisoned bread in order to kill him. So when Benedict says to the devil through prayer, drink your own poison, then the devil has to do it. Ipse venena bibas. Drink your own poison, Satan. And the moment I said that, I could see the demon swallowing hard and being very, very sick. In other words, that prayer worked immediately.
Numquam suare mihi vana, sunt maraque libas, ipse venena bibas.
Rum sacra sit mihi lux, non draco sit mihi lux, vare retro satana, numquam suare mihi vana, sunt malaque libas, ipse venena bibas.
Rum sacra sit mihi lux, non draco sit mihi lux, vare retro satana, numquam suare mihi vana, sunt malaque libas.
Crux sacra sit mihi lux, non draco sit mihi lux, vare retro satana, numquam suare mihi vana.
Now you're probably asking, how do you see a demon swallowing its own poison? Well, the demonized person, you know that a demon will use the voice, the vocal cords of a person, and it will move the person in various ways in its body. It has a certain control, and the person is often unconscious, or I mean the demonized person is often unconscious. And so when you command the demon to drink its own poison, in the name of Saint Benedict, and that's important because when you invoke him and command the demon to drink its own poison, the demon has absolutely no option but to drink. And you see the person, the demonized person, with all kinds of facial contortions and actually swallowing something in a way that, like somebody taking very, very horrible medicine. You see how they grimace and how they pull a face when they're trying to swallow it. Well, that's exactly what the demon did. And I recognized it was a light bulb moment. I said, aha! So, when you invoke Saint Benedict and you command a demon to drink his own poison, he has to do it. And so the demon is, in fact, forced to drink its own poison. Now, what is its poison? Well, it can be any curse that the demon has put on the person, a curse of death, a curse of sickness, a curse of poverty. And so, through the name of Saint Benedict, and because it is his charism, the demon has to drink it. This is one of the gifts that God has given through this particular saint. And so we can invoke that, although it is really the priest's job to command the demon. Although you could do it as well. You, as a parent, you have got the God-given authority over your child. And when the demon is involved, he is actually usurping your authority. And you can command in the name of Jesus, first of all, and then invoking Saint Benedict, you can command Satan, get behind me. Well, I told you at the beginning that we would be doing a little bit of Latin this afternoon. And by the way, just a little bit of information, that when you pray or when you sing in Latin in the presence of a demon, it doesn't like it one bit. We have noticed, for example, that if you say the Hail Holy Queen, that favorite prayer at the end of the rosary, but if you sing it in Latin, it has a profound effect on the demon. And so maybe you should try it at home. Learn a little bit of Latin, just learn the prayers, the simple prayers, the common prayers, and then pull them out as part of your arsenal.
You are tuned to Spirit Wednesday on Radio Veritas with your host, Father Joseph Wilson, MSc, the station that gives you the good news for a change.
I'd like us to look now at the sacramentals of Saint Benedict, and he's got a number of them. The main one, of course, is the Benedictine medal, and I'm going to explain that a little bit more in detail in a moment. But you've got the cross of Saint Benedict, the crucifix of Saint Benedict, and I understand that that is the most recognizable crucifix around the world. It's also very powerful, and it has to be blessed carefully. The point is that each medal is a war chest. It's a powerhouse. It's a prayer. Every inch of his medal is a prayer. For those of you who have never seen a medal of Saint Benedict, let me describe it to you. There's the back and the front, and they come in all sizes, from the size of a clock right down to a shirt button. So all sizes in between and even larger. And they all have the same insignia, the same imprint on every one of them. So we'll start with the front side, which bears the image of a standing Saint Benedict. Surrounding the image of Saint Benedict, there is a beautiful prayer, and it's in Latin. Eius in obito nostro presentia muniamur, which is translated, may his presence, that is Saint Benedict, protect us in the hour of our death. And I believe that. Saint Benedict has ever been the patron of the dying because of the circumstances attending his own most glorious death. For he breathed forth his soul while standing in prayer before the most blessed sacrament. Now, how about that? What a way to go. You're in front of the Master. You see him this side of the glass. And then, wow, quickly you see him face to face on the other. As you look at the front of the medal, you will see on the left a poisoned cup or chalice, and you already know why that is there. One day, his own monks wanted to poison him. Yes, you heard me right. And Saint Benedict said a prayer over the glass of wine, and it shattered when he made the sign of the cross over it. I believe, dear friends, that we can learn a lot from that. And I'm not talking now about Sigiso, although that is most certainly included. I'm talking about prayer over food and over drink. You can extend the blessing of Saint Benedict to say, Lord, if there's anything that is not healthy in this food, may you destroy it so that it will not cause us sickness. There you are, in a sense, copying Saint Benedict, who made a prayer over his drink and over his food. Then, on the pedestal to the left, is a raven, that's a bird, about to carry away a loaf of poisoned bread that a jealous enemy had sent to Saint Benedict. Now, isn't that very South African of us? Doesn't that remind us of South Africa, people who like to give us nice drinks, Sigiso, and love bombs on our roof at night time? Yes, you've all heard them, that very, very strange noise. And we've all had our fair share of Sigiso, that stuff that our beloved friends give us when they have enough of us and they want to kill us. Now, I know it's no laughing matter, because I've actually ingested it quite a few times after my own deliverance. But because I've had a major deliverance, it doesn't have the required effect to kill me. Now, Saint Benedict was faced with the identical same things as we are here in South Africa. I'm not making fun of it. I mean, sometimes it's so serious that one of the ways of handling it is just to bring in some humor. But I know that this is a very serious matter. But all the more reason why we have recourse to Saint Benedict, because he's the very one who's giving us a solution to Sigiso and to poison bread and a poison cup. And it shows his prayer is mighty powerful.
You are listening to Spirit Wednesday with Father Joseph Wilson, MSc, the good news for a change.
One of the things I learned about saints is that their work often continues after their death. In other words, Saint Therese of Lisieux and also Saint Faustina said that they believed that their work would only rightly begin after their death, as was also the case with Saint Padre Pio. And so you have saints interceding for people with miscarriage or abortions or alcoholism. In that case, it's Martin of Tours, arthritis, Alphonsus Liguori, earaches and dysentery, Saint Polycarp, victims of betrayal and torture, Epipodius, against motorcycle accidents, Denise, against blight and frost, storm and alcoholism, Urban of Langres. Now the list goes on. And sometimes you'd think this is just a little bit capricious. It could be anybody. Some of these saints are as unknown as the diseases that they represent. But I don't believe that's the case with Saint Benedict. I believe that he plays a very important role in the spiritual battle. And the reason I believe it is because I have experienced it in invoking his name. I believe that when we invoke certain saints to help us with certain situations, then they really are very powerful and we are not imagining things. And so when we invoke Saint Benedict, for example, to help us in the spiritual battle with temptation and with evil spirits, he is indeed very powerful. By invoking the name of a certain saint, we are summoning him. We're asking God for that particular saint to pray for us or to carry out a certain activity. I think we've all experienced the efficacy of invoking, for example, Saint Anthony of Padua when we have lost something. And we might smile or laugh at it, but we've all experienced how quickly we find things almost immediately after we invoke the name of Saint Anthony. It's actually uncanny. That is an example of how God assigns a particular grace to an individual saint. We also invoke Saint Peregrine for people with cancer and so on. And so we are not mistaken to invoke the help of Saint Benedict when we are in this spiritual war or combat with the evil one. And indeed, as late as yesterday, we had a case where we were praying over a severely demonized person, and no prayer which we were praying had any effect. The person was not being affected. And then we did two things. We invoked Our Lady of Sorrows and prayed a decade of the Sorrowful Mysteries. Now, that began to shake the demon. And then secondly, when we began to invoke Saint Benedict and continue to invoke him to help this particular person, what happened was that it was like pounding the demon. So nothing happened after the first 10 or so invocations. But as we continued to invoke Saint Benedict, the demon was actually flushed out from under the bush and it began to manifest because of the name of Saint Benedict. In other words, the church has recognized that this saint is particularly powerful in this regard, and the demon knows it. So, in summary, each saint of God has a particular grace and a particular power over the enemy in spiritual warfare and also in helping us to get to heaven. In the rule, Saint Benedict exhorts us to, quote, first of all, love the Lord God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is following the great commandment of Jesus. St. Benedict's dedication to the Lord was intense and powerful, and it brought light to other people who became inspired to follow his path. Naturally, Christians around the world love to pray to St. Benedict so he may help them love God as he did with all their soul. And so this is a prayer by St. Benedict to seek the Lord. Now I'm going to pray it slowly so that you can savor each verse. Father, in your goodness, grant me the intellect to comprehend you, the perception to discern you, and the reason to appreciate you. In your kindness, endow me with the diligence to look for you, the wisdom to discover you, and the spirit to apprehend you. In your graciousness, bestow on me a heart to contemplate you, ears to hear you, eyes to see you, and a tongue to speak of you. In your mercy, confer on me a conversation pleasing to you, the patience to wait for you, the perseverance to long for you. Grant me a perfect end, your holy presence. I ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The history of the striking of the first medal of St. Benedict is not clear. We just don't know when the first medal was actually struck. But in the year 1647, an old manuscript was discovered in one of the Benedictine abbeys, and it gives the meaning of what the letters signified. And so the three letters V, R, S, for example, are the Latin words Vade retro Satana, meaning step back, Satan. We know that this exorcism prayer goes right back to the 13th century and definitely even before that. In the course of history, it was found that praying with the medal of St. Benedict sometimes resulted in the cure of certain diseases or local calamities. Also, conversions were attributed to the intercession of St. Benedict using his medal.
You are listening to Radio Veritas with Father Joseph Wilson, MSC.
So now we know that St. Benedict is very powerful, invoking his name against the demon, against demonization, is very powerful. Now, the question is, how might we use the St. Benedictine medal, the medal of St. Benedict? And I suggest that you start out very simply, get to know the prayer, and some of my prayer team actually sing the prayer to St. Benedict off by heart. And I've played it for you throughout the program, and I'll continue with it after this. So on the medal, you have the various capital letters, CSPB and NDSMD, CSSML. These all stand for an individual word in Latin corresponding to a prayer. The cross of Holy Father Benedict. May the Holy Cross be my light. That's the first invocation. May the dragon never be my leader. Step back, Satan. What you are proposing to me is evil. What you offer me is evil. What you're showing me is evil. Drink the poison yourself. Now, ipse venena bibas. These are also found in Latin. And we have found, through experience, that when you repeat these words over someone who is demonized, if you keep repeating them close to their ear, it affects the demon. The demon is affected by these words. Just like Satan is affected by the particular words used in the solemn exorcism. And as Father Gabriel Amorth has pointed out, he said that down the centuries, every word in the solemn exorcism has been tried and weighed and found to actually afflict the demon. In a similar way, these words of Saint Benedict afflict the demon. Now, in the beginning, you might feel that nothing actually happens. It's actually the same with the rosary. You think that nothing happens, but something is definitely happening in the spiritual realm. We have found that praying the Sorrowful Mysteries, for example, has a powerful effect over the devil. And so to repeat these words, actually to sing them, is very, very efficacious. So let's hear these words sung once again and let the words sink in.
Cruz acrasit mihi lux, non da cosit mihi dux, vade retro satana, numque suade mihi vana, sunt malaque libas, ipse venena bibas.
Those are the six invocations sung in Latin. Now let's hear the English translation after each one of them.
Cruz sacrasit mihi lux.
Sacred cross, be my light.
Non dacosit mihi dux.
May the dragon never be my leader.
Vade retro satana.
Get back, Satan.
Numque suade mihi vana.
Do not persuade me with evil things.
Sunt malaque libas.
What you offer me is evil.
Ipse venena bibas.
Drink your own poison. And we can put in brackets, Satan. I remember a friend of mine, Teddy Habib, telling me about the efficacy of this particular song. During his early days, when he was coming back to the Lord, he was terribly demonized and afflicted. And somehow the Lord directed him towards this prayer and song of Saint Benedict. And he decided to learn it in Latin and to sing it. And guess what? As he sang it and continued to sing it, he actually self-delivered himself. I've never heard of it before, but it dealt enormous blows to the evil one. And he claims, it's not my claim, his claim is that it actually delivered him. So it is a very, very powerful prayer of deliverance.
Cruz sacrasit mihi lux, non dacosit mihi dux, vade retro satana, numque suade mihi vana, sunt malaque libas, ipse venena bibas.
If you find yourself waking up in the early hours of the morning, and if you feel yourself afflicted during the night hours, then you might either play this piece of music or you might learn it off by heart and sing it yourself. You might be singing yourself to sleep. hand in hand with this prayer of Saint Benedict, the other very powerful prayer to pray in the wee hours of the morning are the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary. To pray the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary will definitely help you. Remember what Padre Pio would sometimes say to the brother helping him in his bedroom? He would say, "Please give me my weapon." And at first the brother didn't understand, and then finally understood that Saint Padre was looking for his rosary. In other words, he kept this under his pillow, and he kept it near him at night time. And it is said that the devil does not like you reaching for your rosary. Now, it may very well act as good as a sleeping tablet. I'm not saying that every time you actually pray the rosary, you will fall asleep. It doesn't always happen, but it certainly means you're not wasting time. You're actually praying the whole time, and you're sanctifying that particular hour of the night. And all I'm saying is that you can also use these beautiful invocations of Saint Benedict. And I've tried to stress throughout the program that each of these invocations, each of them is very powerful. Glorious Saint Benedict, who taught us the way to religious perfection by the practice of self-conquest, mortification, humility, obedience, prayer, silence, retirement, and detachment from the world, I kneel with you and humbly beg you to take my present need under your special protection. You can name what that is now for a moment. We ask you to recommend it to the Blessed Virgin Mary and lay it before the throne of Jesus. Do not cease to intercede for me until my request is granted. Above all, obtain from me the grace to one day meet God face to face, and with you and Mary and all the angels and saints to praise him through all eternity. O most powerful Saint Benedict, do not let me lose my soul, but obtain from me the grace of winning my way to heaven, there to worship and enjoy the most holy and adorable Trinity forever and ever. To finish our broadcast today, I want to bless any medal of Saint Benedict or any crucifix of Saint Benedict you might have. So if you hold it now, I will bless it over the air for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This, by the way, is the shortened version of the blessing of the Saint Benedict medal. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In the name of God the Father, blessing, Almighty, who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, I exercise your medals against the power and attacks of the evil one. May all who use these medals devoutly be blessed with health of soul and body. In the name of the Father, Almighty, of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, and in the love of the same Lord Jesus Christ, who will come on the last day to judge the living and the dead, and the world by fire. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, the boundless source of all good things, we humbly ask that through the intercession of Saint Benedict, you pour out your blessings. Make the sign of the cross upon these medals. May those who use them devoutly and earnestly strive to perform good works be blessed by you with health of soul and the help of your merciful love. Resist the temptations of the evil one and strive to exercise true love and justice towards all peoples, so that one day they may appear sinless and holy in your sight. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. The medals are now sprinkled with holy water. Okay, so thank you, dear friends, for joining me this afternoon as we were reflecting on the life and efficacy of this great Saint Benedict. And I hope it is my wish that you, and myself obviously included, we cultivate a special devotion to this wonderful saint who will immediately come to our help when we invoke him sincerely and devoutly. And so, praying with Saint Benedict, I now give you this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. May he uncover his face to you, and may he grant you his peace. And I call God's blessing down upon you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for joining me this afternoon.